This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're talking all things about Rebels Season 1 with Tom, a.k.a. Darth Internus, from Delray. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Before we go too much further, we're just going to say, yeah, spoiler warning. For all of Rebels. So if you're not caught up yet, go get caught up, then come back to this.
What are you doing listening to this?
What are you doing listening to us? Go do what you should. Nancy, I'll give you the next little point there in the show notes.
Well, first, say hi to Bria. Hi, Bria.
Oh, hi, Bria. Band leader Max Weinberg is here today.
Hey, guys.
And as Brian said, we have Tom from Delray on, finally. Hey, Tom. Thanks for coming on the show. We are so glad to have you.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here. I enjoy listening to your show weekly, so it's
Aww,
nice to be on it.
That's so nice. So we... Whenever...
Your check's in the mail.
Thank you.
Whenever we have someone new on the show, we have to ask them the all-important question, and I'm sure you will have a very good story, which is how you became a Star Wars fan.
No, I don't have a good story. I have to be honest. I've actually sort of been worrying about this question for like a week because I knew it was coming. And the truth is, I actually don't remember the very first time I was exposed to Star Wars. I don't remember the first time I saw any of the movies. So I know that I saw the movies before I like ever read a comic book or any of the novels or played any of the video games, but I actually don't remember. Which is kind of weird. And so I'm always jealous when I listen to people talk about like, oh, going to the theater the first time, like a grandparent or parent or sibling, like giving them a VHS copy of the movie or something. So I actually don't remember. It's like Star Wars has just like always been. There's literally no point in my life when Star Wars wasn't part of it or that I can remember. But at least as far as, you know, novels and comics and games, the first Star Wars book I ever read was I, Jedi,
yes.
By Michael Stackpole. I was in a bookstore and I, you know, saw a bookshelf that had some Star Wars novels on it. This was just after I Jedi, I think, got published because I was pretty young. And I just remember seeing this one title that kind of stood out against all the others because all the others had longer titles or were like these, you know, declarative statements. And then there's this one that just said I Jedi on it. I picked it up, read the back cover, opened the first couple of pages and realized that it was in first person and that I was reading about this person who was, you know, a Jedi, at least as far as the front cover told me. And, I was hooked. And from then on, that was it. Every book, as every comic I could get my hand on, every video game. That's as close as I can get to telling you how I became a Star Wars fan, but that was the first book. And there's now a hardcover signed first edition of it sitting about 10 feet away from me. Aww. It's like my Star Wars pride and joy.
So what year was that you started reading the books?
What year was that? I must have been in, was I in fourth or fifth grade when I read it?
I feel really old, like Tom. That.
The point is not to make anyone.
I know.
And there's no such thing as being old when it comes to Star Wars. Because Star Wars doesn't have an age cap or an age limit. So yeah, that came out in 1998. No, I must have been like sixth grade when I found it. Because I remember I didn't find it when it got published. It was shortly after. Yeah, let's say sixth grade. But that's probably wrong. But let's just say sixth grade.
Very cool. Well, So we have Tom on, and if you are not familiar with Tom or follow him on Twitter, you should, because he has live tweeted Rebels every Monday night and made it very fun for everyone watching on the East Coast. So we're really glad to have you on.
And if you're not on the East Coast, move out here. You're missing out. Before we get too much further, a note from our sponsors. Tashi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Tashi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And since we're able to talk about spoilers this week, I will mention the new Visions of Ahsoka shirt designed by Dave Filoni himself that was released on Her Universe last Tuesday to commemorate the return of Ahsoka as well as Vader.
I thought that was a cool design before I saw the zoomed in image.
That it was her tattoos. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll probably be buying that because it's really cool.
And that, of course, brings us into what's new on the blog. Nancy, what do we got?
Well, we all did a roundtable review of Fire Across the Galaxy.
Which mostly consisted of us going, oh my god, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yes, pretty much. because it actually came, you know, worked out well that we had all three, you know, we were doing a cycle, you know, Bria reviewed one, then me, then Brian, and we got to Brian and we're like, hey, we can have everyone review the last episode because we'd be fighting over it, I imagine. we reviewed Princess Leia number one. Bria reviewed that, and I'm going to step away from the microphone and let Bria preach to you all the gospel of Leia Organa. Bria, go.
Because that book was amazing. I'm going to be really, really smug right now and say that I have been telling everyone that this book was going to be amazing since it was first announced at San Diego Comic-Con, because Mark Waid knows how to write capable ladies. Mark Waid is freaking brilliant, and Terry Dodson and Rachel Dodson on art and Jordi Belair on coloring. It's all freaking brilliant and it's perfect. And I only want people with the initials MW to write Leia ever again, because they seem to be the ones who understand her best. I'm good. I won't spoil it, but no. There are some really cool things. Oh, hold on. Wait, this is not really a spoiler, but best thing about this comic is that the Queen's name is now canon again.
Yes. I was very happy to see that.
Because I may or may not have gone through the entire Revenge of the Sith novelization to see if I could find Rhea's name in there. And I couldn't. And I was very concerned about this. So it's canon again. And I'm happy.
Yes. That is very... We are very happy about that. And Bria also wrote a new article today. We have our, you know, kind of our irregular series, Why Such and Such Needs to Be in Rebels, and Bria took that and wrote Why Barriss Offee Should Not Be an Inquisitor.
Want to give us a quick rundown, Bria?
It's an article I probably should have published yesterday instead of today.
Oh, well.
But no one told me there was going to be Del Rey news.
Tom! Come on, Tom!
Sorry. That's not part of the job description.
Darn. Basically, there's been a lot of fan speculation that we may see Barriss in Rebels, and that she's going to be an Inquisitor. And then, aside from me going, no, don't you do that to my darling Barriss, I actually managed to articulate why I don't think it's a good idea for the story. Because it's not. And she deserves better.
Agreed.
And that's what's new on the blog, which brings us, of course, into Fixer's Flash, a segment where we give you our updates on our mundane, geeky things we've been up to. And I guess this is kind of geeky, even though it was unintentional, but Nancy, we were up to something this weekend.
It was not definitely mundane at all.
No, this wasn't mundane at all.
So they're being very quiet right now, thankfully. But if you hear more noises, that is because we have added to our family. We now have a new doggie named Jade. She was a rescue dog. She was from the shelter. They think she was hit by a car. We don't know for sure. But my friend was fostering her and decided that she would make a great playmate for Mara. And as she was texting me lots and lots of pictures of this dog to get me to adopt her, she added, "Oh yeah, by the way, her name is Jade." To which I responded, "Oh, come on." And she texted me the shelter papers with her name on it. So she said it was fate and I had to adopt this dog.
So, and then she sent us a video of the dog with Sarah McLachlan playing in the background. Yes. So then we really couldn't say no.
Yeah, so that's how my friend got us to adopt the dog. She sent us a video with in the arms of the angel. And it was really mean. But so yeah, we did not name Jade. That is how she came. And she's a very special dog, as you can see on our Twitter accounts. But so she is our new member of the family. Hopefully she won't make too much noise during the podcast. We can't guarantee that.
I'm going to have to start editing now, aren't I?
No, that's what makes it fun. People listen to us because we're the dog podcast. Come on.
Listen, there are a lot of Star Wars podcasts. You got to find your niche.
Right?
The feminist podcast with the dogs.
Yes!
That's the market we have carved out.
I could make
a comment
about
a dog.
It's the bitches podcast. Bitches get shit done.
In which Brian gets to be an honorary bitch.
Yeah.
Congrats.
I wear the badge with honor. What about you, Bria? Wait, we did something else. We do have something
this
else.
This is very important.
Listeners, I need you to brace yourselves. This is going to just rock your world.
Sit down first, too.
I, Nancy, read a comic.
Whoa!
I read Princess Leia number one.
What?
And I liked it.
Yes!
So there you go. Bria, you have won.
Thank you, Comixology.
Yeah, it was a lot easier to read on Comixology because I could go panel by panel and not go, "What's happening?"
Hey, by the way, if you're a Surface Pro 3 owner out there like me, the Comixology app's been updated and it's fantastic on the device.
It is. I'm also a Surface 3 Pro owner. This is not like a paid advertisement for them or anything. But
this
I
podcast
can confirm,
is
Brian,
brought to you by...
Yeah, I can confirm your comments. The Comixology app on the Surface is pretty awesome.
But yeah, I liked it. And I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to go over to the comic side. I think I will always like reading prose better, but I did like it. And it was a good story. And I will say that I really liked that they have moved the evacuation of Yavin up to right after the medal ceremony, because that 6-month period was stupid and it made writing a fanfic really terrible. I have priorities. So that's one thing they can change and I'll be happy. So yeah.
I am so proud. So proud right now.
And I, okay, so I, but I figured it out. It's because I like a lot of introspection and like that stuff that you don't necessarily get in comics. And I think that's why I liked the Mara Jade by the Emperor's Hand comic so much, is because it's a lot of thinky thoughts.
Oh.
As opposed to dialogue.
I feel like I should have you read Fractions Hawkeye now.
Bro.
Maybe, but I don't know if I really want to. I'd rather read Captain Marvel. We all discuss this.
That we can arrange.
Yeah, I will. I will read Captain Marvel.
Well, Bria, what have you been up to?
Aside from reading Princess Leia and shrieking to everyone in the world how wonderful and amazing it is.
Yes, beside that.
Oh, well, not much. basically, that's all I did. I was like a born again, I don't even know.
Have you accepted Leia as your Lord and Savior?
Basically. Although, hold on, wait, I'm going to say this right now. I know we're talking about it more next week, but pre-order this book, go to your LCS, subscribe to this book, pick it up every week. You can. I'm pretty sure that Comixology and And I think Marvel even have ways for you to pre-order the digital.
Okay,
because
Brian, figure that out.
I believe they do, and I will check that out as soon as we're done here.
So you should all go do that, because while having very strong number one numbers is good, and Princess Leia did have very good number one numbers, although they weren't quite as Star Wars number one numbers, but those are super special. You don't want to see a very, very drastic drop. I mean, you'll always see a drop from one to two, but you don't want to see a huge one, and you especially don't want to see a big drop from two to three. So go pre-order the comic, go buy the comic, go read the comic, go love the comic, and appreciate how Mark Waid writes Princess Leia.
We've had a lot of awesome, capable ladies lately, because we had Peggy Carter a few weeks ago, and I was preaching the gospel of Peggy. So now I get to preach the gospel. Yeah.
The Tosche Station Bible. Welcome. Yep. Let's see. Aside from that, I pretended that I was doing costume work this weekend. It's not going well. But I painted an Imperial crest on the back of a jacket for my punk-ish Mara that really is going to get me kicked out of the Star Wars fandom costume.
Whatever. I'm wearing Golem leggings for mine.
I've got you beat. I have a fishnet shirt.
Nice.
I'm going to be wearing a leather jacket, boots, and fingerless gloves. So
we're going to Goodwill this weekend.
Yep.
I can't wait
to rock Punk Wedge Antilles at Celebration.
I can't even be blamed for these costumes. This wasn't my fault.
This time it actually was not your fault.
It wasn't. I don't know who did it.
I think technically it's my fault.
No, it's my fault.
Nancy.
It's my fault.
I got a text message from her about leggings. I remember this very distinctly. It was like, here, which one looks more like Glam Mirax? And I'm just sitting there in the movie theater going, what is my life right now? But yeah, so I did that. And then I procrastinated by deciding to try and do my hair like Sophie Turner at San Diego Comic-Con last year, because I secretly wish I was Natalie Dormer. So that's all I did.
Doesn't everyone secretly wish they were Natalie Dormer, though?
Tom, do you secretly wish you were Natalie Dormer?
Not really, but I haven't given it a lot of thought. So, like, ask me next week and we'll see.
Maybe if she was in Star Wars.
I would die. Oh, God.
Be careful. You'll start a rumor. That's how rumors get started.
No, we have a rumor.
On top of it. I'm going to go start it.
Mara starts all the rumors in the show.
Can Mara start the Natalie Dormer rumor, or can I start it?
I'm buying drinks for the entire staff if if something we say here gets a rumor started. It's on me at Celebration if we can do that.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, Tom, since you're a guest on the show, we're dragging you into Fixer's Flash. What have you been up to?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't been working on a costume. I feel like I should, though, given everybody else working on cool costumes. I spent the weekend at PAX East up in Boston, hence why my voice might sound a little scratchy. Playing board games, teaching people how to play Dungeons & Dragons, walking around, engaging in all things awesome, which is like my yearly pilgrimage for gaming and whatnot. It was a lot of fun. But I'm kind of tired, and then I came back today, and today was not a quiet day at the office.
What?
I'm just going to quote Tom's tweet from about 8 hours ago, right after a certain bit of news broke. Tom tweets, "So, how's everyone's day going?"
That was like when they announced the cast, and Matt Martin tweeted, "Slow day at work."
But more on that in a little bit.
Yes.
I believe that brings us over into Deke's Dirt News from Around Fandom, and we're going to start with something pretty dang awesome.
Yes.
Brian Young got to sit down with Shelley Shapiro after reading an advanced copy of Paul S. Kemp's Lords of the Sith, and if you don't want to know anything about this book before it releases, skip ahead a couple minutes, but Lords of the Sith will introduce the new Story Group era canon's first LGBT character.
Woohoo!
Woo!
Yay!
And I know Tom can't really tell us anything about that, but we're very excited.
Yes. It's, what's her name? Moff, Moors. Is that correct?
No one. I think so.
That's correct.
Oh, yes. I got it right. That's correct. But yes, so that's very cool, especially because she's on the Imperial side, breaking more rules there.
All the diversity's been on the Imperial side, I feel
know.
Like.
What does this say?
Or at least all the diversity we've like really been talking about.
Well, I mean, Rebels is pretty diverse.
True, and least. We did get Nakari, but yes. Like I feel like race alone was the first big one, and now we're all just like, holy crap.
Yeah.
About them off, so.
So, yes, I'm very excited. I cannot wait to read that book. Very good news indeed, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit what Shelley Shapiro said, but essentially she said in an interview over on Full of Sith, diversity belongs in Star Wars, which we agree, which is awesome. I approve.
Basically, the world is diverse, so Galaxy Far, Far Away should be diverse. Because it is. There you go.
There you go. moving on, StarWars.com has a preview of Kanan, the last Padawan.
Ooh, Kanan, baby.
Bria, this is more up the comic alley. Any thoughts there?
It looks really good. It still kind of bothers me a little bit that it's called Kanan and not Caleb. But I understand the marketing point. I do, I swear. But if anyone hasn't seen the Scotty Young variant yet, go look at it right now.
There's a Scotty Young variant?
Yes! It is the cutest thing.
Well, every Scotty Young variant is the cutest thing, but hang on.
No, this is even cuter.
Hang on, I'm going Google to
it. Google
it now. Someone stall for time.
Kanan is pretty awesome. I'm so excited for his ponytail.
What was the last thing your master told you?
Oh my god, this might be my favorite Scotty Young variant ever.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so are great. We going to see that happen? Are we going to see the last words?
I probably, and I'll cry. That's how you know we've seen the last words, is I'll pick up my comic from the store and you'll just hear like high-pitched sobbing from the DC area.
Are dogs going to just start screaming randomly out of the blue here?
Did they start screaming when I was reading Leia?
I was wondering what that was.
Then yes.
Yes, so Kanan the Last Padawan, there is a preview over at StarWars.com. Check out the show notes once we get this up on the blog, and to check that out. Nancy, I'll let you introduce this one.
So the news that we were kind of circling around before came out today that the big push novel-wise and literature-wise and comic-wise is Journey to the Force Awakens. And this is the big push towards Force Awakens in December 18th, 2015. If you were not aware, why are you listening to this podcast? But there's going to be a bunch of comics, a adult novel, young adult novels, sticker books. Who is excited about the sticker books?
Hey, don't joke.
Me?
I am going to get that sticker book.
I am too.
I'm going to have a blast.
I'm
going
to give it to my mom. She loves stickers. Watch, there'll be like the biggest spoilers come out in the sticker book.
Oh, darn, I didn't even think about that.
Hey, I was spoiled at my Padme's death by looking in a picture book.
Why is this Padawan holding a snow globe?
But, yeah, so all that news came out today. We'll be talking about it more next week. We're going to do a EU podcast next week, so this is perfect timing. Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome.
You'll take credit for that one, right?
No, that wasn't me. But you got anybody who wants to read about it can go to Entertainment Weekly, has the the full report.
And we will not be asking you any questions.
Because we have been informed that if you say anything, you will be force choked remotely from Lucasfilm headquarters.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Told you that. Nobody told me that. thanks for the heads up, though.
You're welcome. But yes, yeah, so I'm taking it you guys are very excited over there in Delray.
Yeah. Yeah. Very excited.
Pretty much all you can say, huh?
Yep, I'm glad that people know about it.
I can imagine. This is why I would never be able to work in any, like, do anything Star Wars-y at all, because I would just be sitting there like, oh my God, I have to tell somebody what we're doing. Oh my God, I have to tell somebody.
Every time something like this happens, I'm reminded that Pablo went around all of Celebration 6 knowing that big thing was going to happen.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, he knew. And people were asking him about even Peele and continuity, and he was just sitting there going, oh God, you sweet summer child. You have no idea what's about to happen. Oh, yep. So that is all very cool. And so the one novel that they announced was Star Wars Aftermath. And we're not sure when it's coming out and who's writing it. And again, we will not pester Tom for questions because we are nice people and want him to come back on our podcast.
So we'll pester him for questions the second time we have him on.
first time is free. First, I get one free pass.
Yep, exactly. Okay. So, yep, that's and
well,
also
if it makes you sorry, Nance. If it makes you feel any better, I've been pestered by questions from some people all day, so it's okay.
Yeah, we kind of figured by now you'd been pestered by enough people.
Yeah, I didn't pester anyone. I just tweeted at Jason Fry very excitedly when I read that he was going to write the Luke YA novel because I think he's fabulous and I was very excited. So yeah. Very cool. There's also a ton of articles and interviews about the season finale of Rebels, as of course you would expect there to be. Dave Filoni talked to IGN, USA Today, and the official site. Those are all really good interviews and give a lot of insight as to what they're thinking going forward. If you're worried about if they're going to use, they're going to use Vader too much. Or if they're going to use, Ahsoka too much and not, the focus is going to move away from the crew of the Ghosts. That is not the case. And USA Today also spoke to Ashley Eckstein about reprising Ahsoka. And they will have action figures for both Vader and Ahsoka coming out in the fall. And this is a time when I will shake my fist at Hasbro for not releasing them now because when you can capitalize on the hype. And, also Hera and Sabine.
And finally, we've got news that Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy herself, will be voicing a character in season 2 of Rebels.
Woo! And in case you're unaware, Sarah Michelle Gellar is married to Freddie Prinze Jr.
I saw a tweet, something along the lines of Dave Filoni must have seen Sarah Michelle Gellar dropping Freddie Prinze Jr. off at work one day, and he says, holy crap, we've got to get Buffy on the show.
Well, yeah. I mean, Buffy is awesome.
I just need one line of Buffy speak. That's all I ask. That's all I ask.
And of course, the rumors are, who is she going to play? Who is she going to play?
Sorry, though, I see one more person say Mon Mothma. Really?
Yeah, no. They've already called him Mon Mothma. Or Mara Jade. That's the other rumor I keep seeing.
She's totally playing Bria Theron.
Oh, God. I suspect she's playing someone new. Completely new.
That brings us into Big's bullshite. We only have one thing, and we're just going to say, folks, Harrison Ford's okay.
Yes. Harrison Ford, please stop crashing your plane. We need you. We love you.
Now that he's okay, I feel it's safe to say, I hate Snake Shock! Hate him!
Fly? Yes!
Land? No!
There, we good? We got
we're
it all
good.
Out?
Got it out, got it out. We're good. Okay, great. Harrison Ford suffered what sounded like an engine failure of a classic World War II trainer aircraft that he managed to somehow land in a golf course.
And the Photoshop
under no power.
And the Photoshop picture of the Falcon crashing in the golf course is really hilarious.
I mean, if I'm writing the headlines, it isn't Harrison Ford injured in plane crash. It's crash. It's Harrison Ford glides unpowered plane into safe emergency landing.
He's Although I do solo. Think his crash was a good lesson in sensational journalism.
Yes.
Because it went from like,
critical to serious to moderate injuries in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think my mom was like, did you hear about Harrison Ford? Yeah, we did. Nothing.
He's fine.
He's fine.
He's all
fine. But he didn't get out of the Force Awakens press tour, so. If he wants to do that next time, you should time it a little better.
He's fine. He's all fine here. How are you? And moving on. Okay, the meat of the show today, Cammy's Concerns, and our Rebels recap is on the docket today, and we brought in Tom and his magical live-tweeting powers to talk about Rebels and just do a big overview of the inaugural season of this great, wonderful show that has fallen into all of our laps.
I love Rebels. It's my favorite show on TV right now, and I am... That's not hyperbole.
All right, there we go. Good night, everybody.
That, I mean, you said everything. That's it.
Yep, it's fabulous.
That's it. That's the show.
Yeah.
Okay, so where should we start on this one?
Well, that's a good question. All right, well, so we didn't really talk about the season finale last week, but we reviewed it. Safe to say we all loved it. So, Tom, you've been watching all season long. What was your reaction to the finale?
Oh, I mean, it was everything I wanted to be. It was everything I hoped for. It was one of those things where the show had both through its quality and through the way that they – through its quality, you know, from episode to episode throughout the season, the way it built itself, and through the way they, you know, built up this fervor for the finale – it set the bar so high. It really did. Like almost to the point that I was a little worried that like it was asking too much for the, you know, the first season finale of a new show. And then it just cleared the bar without any trouble. I had so much fun watching it. Every single moment, even, you know, the couple of the moments that we all knew were coming because they had been shown in some of the teasers that had appeared, you know, that they had been, you know, giving out, or just some of the press releases that they had put out before the finale. But even those moments resonated so much when you're watching them in the moment, even knowing that they were coming was still these big, like, you know, emotional moments. I thought they brought so much in from the very early episodes. I love the way that basically everyone's actions throughout the season got to pay off in the finale, whether it was like Hera's meticulous leadership, her ability to hold the team together even when things might be falling apart, or even when the team itself might be falling apart, like we saw in the Lando episode. Sabine just being all around awesome and really connected to, you know, both her work as an explosive expert and her art, as we saw all the way back in that, you know, one of the first little shorts when she, you know, blows up the little TIE fighter area. And we even see all the callbacks to that same scene with her dialogue with those awesome stormtroopers and them yelling, "Not again," and diving out of the way. But then even Zeb and Ezra, who's like their hijinks from, you know, early in the season from fight or flight, when they, you know, stole that TIE fighter and are like, "Oh, this is fun. It's kind of a cool little bottle episode. And, you know, there's not a lot going on here, but whatever." Even that got a payoff. And then, of course, Kanan gets his, you know, big payoff, getting to face down the Inquisitor in a true fashion. So, I mean, I loved it all the way around. I mean, what wasn't to love? And all of that is before you get to the last 5 minutes of the show, of the episode, when, you know, the whole world explodes, for lack of a better term. It was amazing. And if you guys don't say anything, I'm going to keep talking for the next 5 hours because
Sorry, we've had a doggy malfunction.
That's okay. Someone's going to...
The dogs have discovered my books.
Oh, dear.
Your Star Wars books?
No, it was not.
Oh. No, the Star Wars books are behind a glass.
Oh, that's good.
Behind a glass door.
You can sacrifice Waru to the dogs.
This was my...
It'll be okay.
This is one of my NASA coffee table books.
Oh.
That's all right. Don't do that, Jade. Okay. So, we lost a character in the season finale. They built up the Inquisitor to be the big bad of the show. And
then they kind of Buffy season one
finale.
Well,
a lot of people were expecting, I saw some people suspecting that he would die because they didn't think they'd kill one of the rebels yet. And, you know, he kind of seemed like the most logical choice. I thought he was going to die. But I think the way they did it was really cool. Like, I didn't expect for him to let go. And I expected Kanan would not kill him, you know, because that's the Jedi thing to do. But then he just let go and fell into the heart of the Star Destroyer. And I was kind of like, what? What just happened? And he has a great last line that's very reminiscent of the "if you strike me down" line, but kind of the complete opposite.
I kind of figure there it's either falling to your death or getting Vader. You know, I think I might take falling to my death.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you die both ways.
There are things worse than death than, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, and Nancy, you said something really interesting where, you know, they had built up the Inquisitor as this big bad. But they had built him up as a big bad through the eyes of the rebels. You know, the rebels all viewed the Inquisitor as this big bad. Of course, we saw that little coda, you know, in the first episode where Vader essentially, you know, tasks the Inquisitor out into the galaxy. So that certainly gives him some oomph. But so much of the season was about the rebels finding out that not only are they part of something bigger, but the things that they think are the threats, the things that they think are going to put them in danger are progressively smaller and smaller potatoes, you know. And so really the Inquisitor was a big bad for them. But, you know, once they started to gain the attention, well, then Tarkin shows up and you realize, oh, no. The Inquisitor is really not the biggest thing they have to worry about. And then obviously in the finale, Vader shows up and then you suddenly realize they really have no idea, you know, what they're in for. So I was actually, I kind of was excited by how the Inquisitor's arc played out. And like, as you said, I think he has a really excellent sort of final moment there that's super, you know, filled with dread and, you know, super weighty even as he's sort of casting himself into the abyss.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, the more I like how he was a very, he had a similar arc to Maul in mm-hmm. The Phantom Menace. I mean, and I don't mean it just because of how that awesome lightsaber battle went down, because that was, I wanted more of that battle because it was just so beautifully done. But he was kind of, well, now that I'm thinking about it and looking back at the season, I mean, he's there to just sort of be the weapon and to go after people. He's not necessarily being the idea guy.
Right.
You know, and it just especially occurs to me after that, the episode where you see him kind of just do some stab at Tarkin's order. But I kind of like how they did that. And especially with the publicity stuff and how they cast Jason Isaacs as his voice, it sort of made him sound like he was going to be much more, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, sophisticated. I don't know, more, less of a weapon and more of a, more Tarkin-ish than Maul-ish. And I kind of really do like how they sort of played with our expectations and used him as they did.
Yeah. I really liked Maul because he was, you know, more of a silent type. He was very menacing. But as far as the Inquisitor goes, I feel like he's what I wanted Maul to be. Like, I found him a lot more interesting. And plus, I think a lot of it has to do with Jason Isaacs playing that character. I will miss Jason Isaacs a lot. Because he was so good in this role. Like, every time I expected him to be like, "Hello, do you want some tea? Okay, I'll kill you now." But, I mean, I agree. It seemed he had a really good arc. It didn't, looking back, it's like there was really no more place for him to go, because he'd failed catching these rebels, you know, and the show has done so well with raising the stakes that if they, you know, just had the Inquisitor keep chasing them, that's not gonna be interesting. It's gonna get boring. And, you know, now we know, oh crap, Vader's on the case. Well, shit.
Yeah, I'm going to echo all of these thoughts on the finale, because you've all said everything I want to say.
Can we talk about
Ahsoka. The reveals.
Can we talk about Ahsoka?
Oh, we can talk about spoiler this week. Excellent.
So many spoilers.
I cheered so loud. I didn't realize how much I wanted it until it actually happened.
And the thing is, I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And I still nearly dumped my Surface on the ground because I was so excited.
Can I make an embarrassing confession?
What's that?
That you will all probably have guessed. I pretty much yelled Alderaan the minute I saw the ships. I was more excited by Bail Organa than I was by Ahsoka, and I don't know what that says about me as a person.
Oh, it's expected.
Okay, checking.
Listen, that's an awesome moment. All those ships just come out of nowhere. You know, every Star Wars fan always likes to use the take, you know, your first step into a larger world line. And they took that line and it exploded onto the screen when those ships showed up, you know, mm-hmm. all those additional rebels finally showing up. No, there's nothing embarrassing about that. That moment is awesome.
It was awesome.
That moment's great.
That is, that's one of my, that might be my favorite moment. I mean, just because of how it played out in the story. Because, like, you're like, okay, what's going to happen? They're stranded. Oh, my God. You expect the ghost to show up, not 500 Alderaanian ships with them. I was counting the cruisers, and I was like, and then there was a space battle, which, holy crap, space battle. You know, I'll take any of those I can get. And then, so they, you know, get there, and you see Bail Organa, and you're kind of like, okay, it's what we expected. But then you realize, wait a minute, who's flying ghosts? Someone has to be flying the ship. And then Ahsoka came down the ladder. And it was like, I get annoyed when people are like, oh, they can't do something that's expected. It needs to have like twists and everything. But twists aren't necessarily good storytelling. People expected it to be Ahsoka for, you know, in-universe and out-of-universe stuff. And the way they pulled it off, even if you were expecting it to happen, it was still awesome because they just, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, here's her in the hologram and all, that's great. Like, I'm going to, you know, not that I don't like Clone Wars, I did like Clone Wars, but like when Maul was coming back and they just showed his face in the crystal ball, it was kind of very anticlimactic because you're like, okay, is that it? But I thought that's what they were going to do with Fulcrum, is that you would just see Fulcrum and that's it. But no, she was there. She had lines. Granted, it was at the very end of the episode, but you're like, okay, she's back and she is got stuff to do.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I mean, and she had those great setup lines the week before, not physically, but the episode before in her still holographic speech to Hera, where you got, like, that was the point then that I got the idea that, okay, this person is probably someone who had a connection to the Jedi Order at mm-hmm. some point, because she had like that. I mean, you could analyze those five or six lines of dialogue for hours, but that was the point where it's like, this person has a real history to them. They, you know, the rebellion or the burgeoning of rebellion might be young here, but this person has been at it for a while, whatever they, you know, whatever their past is. And then she just had sort of the perfect reveal. She comes down the ladder. You get the incredible, you know, design that Dave Filoni and the whole team put into, you know, designing her at this, you know, at this point in her life, her, you know, older than we saw her like in the Clone Wars. And she just has those very simple lines of, you know, I'm Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. And that was it. It was great. And telling them, like, I'm here because of you and your Padawan. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
And I didn't, like I said, I didn't realize how much I wanted it to be Ahsoka until I saw it. And then I think it was because, like, my first reaction, and I'm sure a lot of people have the same reaction, was, oh my God, I want to hear Ashley talk about this. like, because I've seen her at Star Wars weekends, like, every weekend. I've met her several times, you know. She's awesome, and she's like the fangirl ambassador for Star Wars. And even though she, you know, has her universe, not having her in Star Wars was really weird for the past, you know, few years since Ahsoka, you know, left Clone Wars basically. And now to have her back in the show, it's like, okay, this this is how it's supposed to be, you know, and I was so glad. And I just like, it was so great going on Twitter and seeing everyone just like tweeting at her and like saying how excited they were. And her immediately right after the show came on, she tweets, I'm back. And you know, she was just waiting so long to do that.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about having to keep a secret or something. Imagine, you know, the secret she had to keep for that long. That was impressive.
She must have known at Star Wars Weekends last year when she was doing all of the stage shows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. But yeah, it was, I'm so glad that she's back in the show.
But then we go from that to the show's like, oh man, everyone's super excited. You know, there's, you know, ships from Alderaan, and here's Bail, and here's Ahsoka, and there are Rebel Cell, and this is going to be great. And then the show basically just drops the mic when they're like, hey, Vader's here.
Yes.
And they drop the mic by ending the show with no music and just his haunting, you know, disturbing breathing, and credits roll.
Yeah,
and I'm supposed
perfect.
To go on with my life as if, you know, as if nothing's going on.
Yeah, he didn't have to say, he didn't have to say anything. That gives me hope that they know what they're doing and they're not going to mess him up, because you don't need Vader to have a huge monologue. He just comes in, breathes, and billows his cloak.
And in that moment, we all say, crap, we're stuck waiting until fall.
Well, yes.
Yeah, or celebration.
Yes. Nancy says, oh my God, my pipe dream might have a possibility of coming true.
You are really attached to Vader kills Ahsoka.
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. And as I just say, how great it is that Ahsoka's back and Ashley's back, and how great it is for fangirls. And then I'm like, I want Vader to kill her.
It's okay. My first thought was, oh no, now there's another three characters who have to die before we finish Rebels. Crap.
I mean,
we are going to get Whedon so hard on this show.
Well, no, we're not, because we're expecting it.
Yeah,
I expect Kanan and Hera and I guess Ezra too to die. I'm prepared for it.
I don't expect Hera to die. I definitely expect Kanan and Ezra to die. And Ahsoka. But probably Kallus too, because someone has to take Kallus out and then Vader has to take out them. Yeah.
Everyone dies.
I don't want to think about the characters dying. I like them all.
Aww.
So instead of thinking about the characters dying, let's talk about the characters we met this season.
Yeah.
Wait. Can I make one last comment about the finale?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Sure.
Because that was a perfect season finale in my brain, because it didn't leave you on a massive cliffhanger. It left you wanting more, but it took the entire arc from the season. It tied it up nicely. It was, you know, you're not going to get the end of this story in the first episode of the next season. Yeah. And I think more shows should take a hint from that.
It raised the stakes and it kept raising it throughout the season. It started really slow, or not, it didn't start slow, but you know, it started very small scale. You know, we had a lot of character building episodes. You got to know these people. So when you get to a moment where, you know, the Inquisitor and Kanan and Ezra are fighting and you don't really think they'll kill Kanan and Ezra yet, maybe the Inquisitor, but you're still super invested because you've come to know these characters. And that's, you know, they did a good job of that. And I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do next season when there's 22 episodes and it's a normal season.
Hopefully explore some character backstories.
Yeah. Yeah, because we need to know about all of these people. Because we love them so much. I was going to say something more about the finale. Of course, I forgot. Oh,
Space Married?
No. Well, yeah. Oh. But, because Call to Action was like the first of these three episodes all leading up to the finale. And the way that ended, I remember thinking, wait, that's not the season finale? How can that not be the season finale? Because it ends with Tarkin capturing Kanan. And you're like, wait, they're going to be bigger than that? And that's when you know they're serious.
Yeah.
Oh, Bria, since you mentioned our space married.
That was my second favorite moment of the episode. Yes. Sorry, Ahsoka was third.
The look on her face when she heard Kanan's voice was adorable.
I'm so mad at Chopper. Right
yes!
Now. Chopper, like, will that droid stop beeping and interrupting sweet and tender moments where they were totally about to kiss? And I'm sorry, I turned into a shipper, a crazy shipper. I don't know what happened.
Tom, can you provide some commentary? Where do you stand on the space married issue?
I mean, I don't think they're space married.
Oh, get off the podcast.
Sorry. You asked. I don't think they're space married. I think that they are, you know, two people who are so incredibly close, having gone through all sorts of, you know, amazing and dangerous and, you know, ridiculous ups and downs to both their, you know, their personal relationship between each other and then just what they've actually gone through, that they have, you know, as strong a connection as two people can have. But I don't see them as space married.
Not even with that almost kiss in the short.
No, not even with almost kiss in the short. No, I don't see them as space married.
We'll accept your answer because they are very close.
If we find out that they are space married, I'm not going to be mad. I just don't see that. Yeah. I don't want you to think that, like, I'm against it. Just I don't think they are space married.
We can still convert you.
You hate love, Tom.
I do not hate love.
So,
but that was a great moment, because we'd sort of been teased at it throughout the season with all these little moments that Hera and Kanan kind of get to have, you know, going all the way back to the very first episode when, you know, they're sort of teasing each other about, you know, why they've taken on Ezra, mm-hmm. you know, all those little moments of the cockpit. And so, you know, it's nice to really see them get to actually have a moment where you can see the relief, especially given what Hera sort of went through in the two episodes prior, where she really kind of almost made the decision, as, you know, as per sort of Fulcrum's orders, to run, you know, go run and hide, that, like, all right, we got to just, you know, Kanan's sort of giving himself up for us so we can survive. We got to go. Yeah. And then she obviously, you know, when the rest of them were like, no, we can do this, we have a plan, we're together, you know, she was like, yeah, we can, let's go do it. So that was obviously a really important moment for us to get to see Hera, you know, have that moment with Kanan. Because she went through, I mean, a lot in those last two episodes that was sort of unspoken, since she's, you know, this whole time she's been the one who's been dealing with this extra weight that, as we found out in the finale, none of the other rebels knew about, really, since Zeb and Ezra and Sabine didn't know that they were a cell, and Ezra doesn't even know what a cell is.
That was adorable. Yeah, and since we're, you know, since we've got you here, Tom, we'll ask, who is your favorite character?
It changes all the time. And I know that's such a cop out, but I mean, like, okay. I love Chopper because I just imagine that Chopper is, like, yelling and saying terrible things about them, like, 95% of the time.
I want the subtitles on Chopper so badly.
But when push comes to shove, Chopper is going to save the day, just like R2. And he, you know, he doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter that, you know, a lot of times, like, he's the butt of jokes, or he's sort of, like, sold off to Lando, or he's just sent away to do, you know, grunt work, that he, you know, is the one who's going to try to save Kanan. He's going to one who's going to call for help. I love Sabine. I think Sabine is fantastic. I think her design is awesome. This is in no small part due to my shameless adoration and love of the Sabine sketchbook that you guys talked about last week, and all of Annie's art that's in it. I think everything about Sabine is awesome. I think she's one of the most unique Star Wars characters they've ever come up with. I think the fact they gave her the code name The Artist just makes it even better, or at least the Imperials did, those stormtroopers. I guess it's either Sabine or Chopper. I'll stop there. I really could go through the whole cast. It's Sabine or Chopper.
Bria, we do have to ask you again.
I don't know why you're bothering. You know what I'm going to say.
Because I like serving things up to you on a tee.
Hera.
It's a nice tray. It's a very useful tray.
That's an idea for a shirt. Hold on. Sorry.
I want to see someone at Celebration cosplaying as Hera and just walking around with, like, a cookie sheet.
Yes.
Really, can someone bring me a cookie tray?
And Lando, with a Lando. She needs a Lando with her.
Can someone bring me a tray to Celebration, please?
I'm going to make that happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Brian, who's your favorite character?
It's It's Hera because she's the pilot, she's the captain, she's in charge, she's very much the wedge of this crew, and I love it.
Great.
And Nancy.
I don't know. I can use Tom's answer that it changes. Although, is it wrong if I say the Inquisitor?
Not at all. No. I will say, though, that I was most surprised by how much I wound up liking Kanan.
Yeah, me too. I was really expecting to be Kanan to be just another, you know, last Jedi person guy, you know, same that we've seen a whole bunch of other times and be kind of boring, but they did a good job with him.
I think a lot of that has to do with how John Jackson Miller was able to set him up in A New Dawn. Because, I mean, obviously he was great in the show as well.
We're
but
not just
I remember
plugging this
reading
book because
the book.
Tom's here.
I'm not, because I swear, I love that book. I think I preached the gospel of it all during Dragon Con when I was saying, look, we have advances. You want to win this raffle, I swear. But I thought he was just going to be boring. I was like, okay, cool. Another male Jedi. Ooh, whoop-de-doo. He has a ponytail. And now I'm like, oh, Kanan, you and your ponytail. Look
Hera,
at you.
Hera looks after Kanan, especially Kanan.
Yeah. I mean, I really like Hera. After reading the sketchbook, I think I really like Sabine because she's like Tom said, she's so different, and you don't really get we've gotten a lot of young girl characters, but not like Sabine, like because she's allowed to still be kind of a teenager, like even though she's part of this, you know, rebel group, you know, she's, you know, big into art and like she's very enthusiastic like a lot of teenage girls are, and it's not, you know, looked down upon, or you know, they actually take her seriously, which I think is really important. And I also will say, as far as the minor characters, I really kind of like Maketh Tua because she's kind of, you know, ridiculous.
She was fun.
Yeah, and I kind of would like to see her kind of go over to the rebel side, because the look on her face when the Inquisitor offed those two guys, she was like, holy crap, what did I get myself into? So that could be interesting.
And I love that we got Baron not Fell.
Ugh. God, that was Dave Filoni trolling us so much. Yes. Oh my God. The only reason it was not him was because he's on Corellia and he's busy. It's my story. I mean, they didn't canonize Baron Fell, but they might as well have canonized Baron Fell right there with those blood stripes. Don't get me started.
Although as far as going back to main characters real quick, yeah. I am still shocked how much I like Zeb.
Yes, I want more of Zeb.
This continues the streak of...
I want more of everyone's backstory.
Yeah, this continues Steve Bloom playing characters that I absolutely love, so...
I mean, I think other than Ezra and Kanan, we really got the most in terms of backstory about Zeb. I mean, it was really all in one episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he was the other character of the crew that we really got some depth to the backstory. You know, Sabine, we got the comment about, you know, she used to be, you know, an academy, you know, here, she used to be doing this. Hera, we got very little actual sort of history or backstory from. Chopper, we didn't really get a whole lot of backstory history from. So, yeah, Zeb, we got that extra insight from. And as soon as, you know, that episode happened, I think, yeah, the switch kind of flipped for me on Zeb from being like, oh, he's kind of a cool design character and I kind of like his weapon. But he's very, you know, he seems like he's just kind of like the big sort of sarcastic comedy, you know, comedy of relief. He's going to be a foil for Ezra, to becoming a more sympathetic character that you could sort of understand then why he acts that way around Ezra, why he kind of has this level of sarcasm and like, this is never going to work, sort of a little bit like an Eeyore attitude around things. And it's just a sort of a reflection of, I'm guessing it's a reflection of like the sort of pain that he must have felt from what happened to him.
Yeah, I definitely want to learn more about Zeb. And I think we know a little bit more about Sabine because of her comments. We know nothing about Hera. Nothing.
Except who her father is.
Yeah. Like, even in A New Dawn, we didn't get a lot about her. So I'm thinking that she was probably just born a rebel, pretty much.
I could see that.
She's just born piloting the Ghost.
Yeah. Like one of my favorite lines in a fanfic ever was something about Card being sprung fully formed from a smuggling crate. And like, I think Hera was just born with the Ghost and like, all right, you're a rebel now. Okay, Daddy.
So what should we hit up next? Episode.
Well, I want to know what everyone's favorite episode and or moment was of the season.
Ooh, good question.
Actually, those are two different questions.
They are two different questions.
Episodes.
Ooh. And we should preface by saying that we our favorite episode is one is not to the detriment of the others.
Correct.
Yes. We love all the episodes.
Because saying your favorite always gets taken as a like you like liking this means you hate this, and that's not the case here.
That's not true. Yeah. I don't like all the episodes equally, but
let's also say we're not allowed to say the finale because I feel like most of us will go for the finale.
Okay, I wasn't gonna say the finale, okay. but okay.
I knew Nancy was.
Yeah. I'm going to say that my favorite was Brian Go.
Cop out. I really liked Out of Darkness.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have enough words to properly describe why I like. Actually, you know what? It's a tie between Out of Darkness and Idiot's Array, because they were both such Hera-focused
episodes.
Damn it,
Brian. That was my answer.
You can have the same
answer. Fine, I'll come up with a new answer.
I mean, Out of Darkness was this great episode that features two awesome, capable ladies doing awesome, capable things. And then Idiot's Array shows that you shouldn't ever mess with Hera, and it gives us the great, that was a useful Trey line. It was my favorite line in the whole season.
And it also gave us two gifts of Hera punching people.
Yes.
And I'm so excited by that.
I'm going to say my favorite was Droids in Distress. Because the premiere was really great. But Droids in Distress was when I realized that the show, it was going to stay on that level. And the use of Bail Organa at the end gave me hope that they were going to bring in some of what we knew from the expanded universe, as far as like the founders of the rebellion.
Oh, I was so skeptical about that episode and the series as a whole at that point because R2, 3PO, and Bail Organa. Okay.
But they made it work, and you were like, they just had him a little bit at the end. They teased, you know, that he's been working with Rebels, and I was like, all right, I like what they've got going on here. And of course, it paid off at the end.
Yes. Okay, I can't decide between Out of Darkness and Idiot's Array, so I'm going to go with Rise of the Old Masters because that was traumatic.
And I'm still not over it. The episode in which the show grew the beard.
Yes, the episode in which I was really worried when we saw the hologram of Luminara. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really worried because I was like, oh, no, come on. Another Jedi survived the Purge. Like, what the heck? I thought we're pretty sure she died on Kashyyyk. Mm-hmm. And then it completely flipped everything I expected around and went dark in a horrifying way. And I want to know what the Miri, Alan, Miri, whatever the heck their species name is pronounced. What did they ever do to Dave Filoni? What did they do to deserve this? But it was a really good episode, so gonna go with that one.
Yeah, and we get the Inquisitor. Oh wait, what's your favorite moment, Priya? Outside of an episode,
just wait,
a
Tom,
moment.
Did you say you've done your episode yet, Tom?
Oh, do my episode first. Okay, my favorite episode is, it's Path of the Jedi. It's Path of the
also
Jedi.
Also, a really good episode.
And I mean. I mean, so much of it is just like I got to hear Frank Oz as Yoda again. And that was, I mean, it's one of those things. You knew it was coming. But the moment he started speaking, it was just like I was like, you know, 6 years old again. You know, it was just perfect. It was awesome. It was also this amazing episode because as much as it was about Ezra, like really starting to understand or be exposed to like what the Force and being a Jedi is, because he's now got a like a physical place, this Jedi temple, this thing that is full of history, that it was devoted to this order, this group that he's joining, that he really is only learning about from this person, Kanan, who like never even actually sort of completed all of his, you know, his studies really. So he's, and he now finally has this physical place where, that embodies, you know, this whole thing that he's stepping into. But the episode is also so much about Kanan, and we learned so much more about a little bit about what had happened to Kanan, because we hear him talking about, you know, how he turned away from things, but just, you get a sense of the emotional burden and the fear that Kanan carried about Ezra and about himself. And it was just, on the whole, it was just such an amazing, amazing episode. And actually, I'll do my favorite moment, because it contains my favorite moment.
Yes.
And I mean, like, anything, in, you know, Lando introducing himself was great. There's so many great little moments during the season. But when Yoda says, "I am here because you are here," to Kanan. And I know that that's a callback, because that's what Qui-Gon says to Obi-Wan in a Clone Wars episode from way back. But when he says that, that's just like, there's literally nothing more comforting in the world I think I could think of than to have Yoda tell me, like, "You're not alone. I'm here because you're here." And that, just even outside of like what was going on in the episode when he said that, that's just like one of the coolest Star Wars things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, how could you ever feel sad again if you're like, "Oh yeah, Yoda's always here. He told me he's here because I'm here." Like, that's just as good as it gets.
I think I have to go with, okay, well, one of them's a funny moment, and it's not the actual favorite, but it's when the droid, that chopper, throws out the ship, lands in the field, and rises up, and the Lothcats look at him like, "What?" And he is now the king of the Lothcats. Because it's funny. But I think my favorite moment has got to come from the Spark of Rebellion, and it was the kid, "I'm about to let everyone in on the secret," because that was when I decided I liked Kanan, and I swooned, I'll admit it. I swooned big time. And it was just, but it was just such a badass moment. Like, yeah, he's, especially after reading A New Dawn and how much he wanted to reject the Force and everything, and then he, you know, he's, you know, realize, you see how far he's come. It was really, really good. Really cool moment.
Bria?
All right, I'm not going to say anything Bail Organa related.
What?
And I'm not going to say anything Space Mary related.
What?
Because I figure, look, here's the thing. They're obvious. I don't want to go for obvious.
Okay.
And also, I feel like I, you just assume they're favorites. So it's a tie between, okay, the Kanan one is really, really good too, but I don't want to repeat. So it's a tie between Hera just completely and utterly hitting Lando in the balls and when we get the jaunty Empire theme.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
The jaunty Empire two. Theme. Yes.
I hope they better play that at Celebration. They better play that at Star Wars Weekends. I want that to play at every Star Wars event ever.
And the jaunty Empire theme comes with Freddie Prinze Jr. delivering one of the lines of the season when he's like, "Empire Day!
Empire Day! Yeah!"
It's great. I think I tweeted, like, he just won all the awards with that line. That was just perfect.
Yes.
Lay off the glitter stim, Kanan.
We need to do him that at Celebration.
Don't space that.
And my favorite moment, I'm going to go with the cop out and say it's when Ahsoka descends the ladder, because in that moment, it becomes just beautifully clear that Rebels is this bridge between eras. It's got something for fans no matter when you came into the Star Wars fandom, and that was just really, really cool to see.
And she's not little Soka anymore. And that was also a big thing for me, is because Ashley is like a year younger than me, and to realize that Ahsoka is now pretty close to my age, that was pretty awesome, because most of the ladies in Star Wars have been a lot younger than me or they're older than me, because, you know, like Shmi and Aunt Beru. But like, it was like, all right, she survived. She's awesome. you know, I, you know, it was like, it was very inspiring.
So
they did a really good job with her design. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah, it's just fantastic.
Also, I want her lightsabers.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap up, we should talk about season two and
the awesome concept that we got.
So if the episode ended,
I screamed, "I cannot wait until midnight!"
Yeah.
For Rebels Recon, I need it now.
Can we? So if you haven't watched Rebels Recon, you need to go do that. They show some concept art for season two, which is really awesome. It's of Commander Sato and the Phoenix Squadron, which, oh my god, Brian and I both went, are those A-Wings? Because we're dorks. And got really excited, and there was like all these cool pilots, and there was like all this diversity in the pilots, and then there's a scene of them around some sort of briefing room, and Kanan sitting in the corner, because... he got high again, apparently.
No, someone tweeted a really good explanation for that. I can't remember what it was.
Hera,
I think it was
put
like
him in timeout.
No, Hera put him in timeout for not like not giving the House Organa the proper like.
Oh yeah, not knowing.
And I was like, done.
Not knowing who Bail Organa was. That's why.
Yes, that was it. Sit in the corner thinking about what you said.
Speaking of knowing people. Of everyone is speculating. Does he know Ahsoka? Did they know each other?
He must. He must. I mean, they're not that far apart in age, right? Because he's 27 right now, I think.
I think so.
27, 28.
Well,
she's
13 during Order 66. So he's about 4 years younger than her. 4 or 5 years younger than Ahsoka.
I don't think they were besties, but he must at least know who she is.
Plus her being Anakin's Padawan. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. And plus the whole, like, you know, getting kicked out of the Order.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help. I mean, he must know who she is. I think he just had his stupid face on.
Well, and he also didn't say, who are you? Ezra asked, who are you?
Yes.
If I recall correctly. And he said, why are you here? So he didn't necessarily not recognize her. And that could be, you know, next season we could see what exactly he does know of her.
And it's been 15 years, right?
Yeah.
14, 15 years.
Of him trying to forget everything, too.
And everyone looks different in 15 years.
Yeah.
So.
I'm looking for... Go ahead,
yeah.
Tom.
Sorry. The thing I'm looking forward to the most is it relates to Ahsoka, but it's I should preface all of this by saying that I am merely speculating as a fan. I don't know anything beyond any of you. So please,
listeners,
don't anyone
hold
think
your
that I'm
emails.
Yeah, I know. So no, I don't preview the episodes beforehand. I watch them live with everybody because I think that's the best way to do it. It's the most fun from a live tweeting standpoint. But anyway. The thing that occurred to me sort of the moment that Ahsoka is revealed is, wow, what is this going to do for not just Ezra, but for Kanan? Because now Kanan has someone else who, A, was a Jedi, progressed much further than he ever did, thus has some, you know, has knowledge that she can impart to him, but also sort of went through a, you know, had a similar path that she was separated from the Order and separated from other Jedi. It's slightly different because she, you know, leaves the Jedi Order while it's still around, whereas he, as we, you know, surviving Order 66, it's more or less taken from him. But there's an interesting, there are some interesting conversations the two of them could have. There's an interesting dichotomy there. But also because this whole season, we saw both Ezra and Kanan, and in Ezra's case, we actually saw him do it, skirt very close to tapping into the dark side. You know, fighting with anger, fighting, you know, having fear overtake them. And in Ezra's case, he literally almost dove off a cliff in terms of embrace, you know, falling into, you know, the dark side. And to actually now have someone there in Ahsoka who could sort of recognize that and sort of help mentor them along in terms of the dangers of that, given what she knows about, you know, her own experiences and being around other Jedi and everything. It'll be really interesting because there really hasn't been anyone to be around to be like, you guys might want to like tone it down with the like anger and with, you know, fighting angry and doing these kinds of things. Obviously, Kanan was trying to help Ezra, but you know, they're both working with such limited knowledge that to actually have someone else there who is beyond both of them in terms of her knowledge of being a Jedi, you know, the opportunities for where that could go are really, really interesting.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to see like what if she wants to teach anything, because you know,
right,
she left the Order.
Yeah.
And
she never finished her training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also,
and that could be a source of tension, mm-hmm, you know, that if Kanan's like, look, I need help. And she's like, nah, no, yeah, thanks. And I mean, she would say it more eloquently than that, but.
And it's really, I'm really interested to see if they talk about the Jedi Order and like if they, what they were wrong about and what they were right about. Cause you know, I have a lot of strong feelings about that, but it would be nice to see like them, you know, acknowledge that, you know, that it's not, you know, that they can't go back to the way it was, even if they overthrew the Empire.
Yeah. I think you had a really good point, Tom, about them now having someone who can caution them against the dark side. But that said, I am 100% down for Ezra falling to the dark side. I'm not talking about like a Jaina Solo, I'm going to dip my toes in the pool of darkness for a few minutes to fight this war. I'm talking like full on dark side, redeeming him. Okay, we would really like to, but it's probably not going to happen. And I know I'm making one of our listeners very, very sad right now. So I'm sorry, but I think that would be a really interesting storyline. And I would make, it would make me a heck of a lot more interested in where they take Ezra, yeah, than so far.
And I'm really interested to see if there are more Inquisitors. Because Ezra did say they sent an Inquisitor to Lothal. So it would be nice to see if they, you know, if they go with that. And like I said before, if they have Vader and Ahsoka, they have to interact somehow. They have to. They can't throw that out there and then not do it.
I mean, don't kill her right away.
No.
But, oh, I want there to be an interaction.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah,
they can stare each other down, mm-hmm, just a few moments. Oh, I'm getting
as
goosebumps.
She's flying
about
away,
it.
As she's flying away, have her be like in the ramp of the ship and have him just stare at her. Kind of like all the scenes when the, you know, the rebels got away from the Inquisitor.
Oh, I want
perfect.
This. I need this. And I'll give you three guesses on what I'm super excited for, and the first two don't count.
Starfighter battles?
Pilots?
Phoenix Squadron.
So excited.
I inevitably want Wedge to show up. That would be so
awesome.
I'm just
excited that I will now need more than one finger to count all of the Asians in vaguely leading roles in the Star Wars universe canon.
Yay.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. So is there anything else we want to chat about? Yeah, we've got people need to go to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's not me. What are you talking about? I never watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
We've also got
My Girl Sky.
We've also got doggies who are very...
Yeah.
Who have hit the limit, yeah, of their patience.
Oh. I love
Tom?
S.H.I.E.L.D. too. I'm going to be doing the same thing.
So will we all be watching Rebels at Celebration?
Yes.
Unless it's at the same time Mark Hamill's on, which they won't do. But
Unless I'm standing in the back of the Del Rey booth, Inquisitor style, as I've been informed, will be my duty for the weekend.
I'm bringing a camera and taking a picture of this.
We are.
It's not going to be very imposing because I'm not like tall, like, you know, I'm not tall and like gaunt like he is, and I don't have like a double bladed lightsaber that spins around. So I'm not sure you're going to get the same effect as him. My eyes don't glow in the dark.
I mean, we can arrange the lightsaber part.
That's true.
Parting thoughts on Rebels, other than I'm ridiculously excited for season two.
So damn good. Yeah. Needs more House Organa. Needs space married confirmation. I'm done.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how they continue on. If they'll go places we want them to go, because they've already shown that they will. That they'll raise the stakes and they're not afraid to kill off characters and, you know, change things for the larger universe. But I'm also really interested because if this show is this successful, what does this mean for the future of Star Wars and future TV shows? Brian.
Yeah.
Tom.
Go, Tom.
Collecting my thoughts. Okay. I'm very excited to see where the show goes. The show, even in the small space of time, hasn't been afraid to really evolve itself, to try new things, to push it in unexpected directions, you know, to bring in major characters who have sort of major, you know, roots in Star Wars, like Tarkin, you know, to have him just show up in the middle of your first season. A character like that could totally suck the air out of the entire season and pull all of the attention away from characters you're building, from everything else. And he sort of does in that very first scene when he shows up, which is an incredible scene that I loved. But the show showed that it can, oh God, the show showed, jeez. it displayed that it can handle having a lot of, you know, a lot of balls in the air at once, and that it can juggle them all really well. And I have no doubt that it's going to continue to do that going forward. And man, I would be so excited for them to add more more guest characters to interact with these rebels, because those parts of the show have been great.
I'm really excited to see what they'll do with a 22 episode run. It's going to give them a lot more space to explore a lot more stuff, and they already accomplished great things with just an abbreviated 13 episode short season. I just want to see them continue doing what they're doing. They've gotten off to such a great start. I just want to be excited. I just want to be surprised and excited at this point. So, yay, Rebels! I want more.
Yes. I think that's about wraps it up.
I think we will wrap it up there. Yeah. Before we go, Tom, where can folks find you on Twitter?
Darth Internus. Darth Internous, all one word. Also, if you happen to be tweeting at Delray Star Wars, or you're on Facebook or Instagram with Delray Star Wars, I help manage those pages. So a lot of the times you're talking to me. I will see your message wherever it goes.
And if you're at Celebration, go wave at Tom menacingly.
Don't just come wave. Come hang out. It's going to be – Celebration's going to be a blast. It'll be my first time going to a Celebration. And
baby.
I just missed out going – I missed out on going to Celebration when it was in Orlando last time. That was when I was interning for Delray, but my internship ended and I had to go back to school before Celebration. Mm. So this will be my first time. I'm so excited. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with everyone, in addition to standing menacingly at the back.
Cool.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap the show up there. Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the blog. Help us keep the site running. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we are the Tashi Station Network. You can find us on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. Be back here next week. We're talking Star Wars literature.
Bye.
So long.
Good night.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.